old. This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Many political observers will say that the August 5th primary is in effect the election for many of Michigan's congressional, state house, and senate seats. That's because the districts are safe for one party or the other, making the election between Republicans or Democrats the only possibility for a competitive race. Michigan Campaign Finance Network Executive Director Rich Robinson wrote about this recently for the online magazine Dome. His column was titled "Democracy Deformed." Rich Robinson, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Oh, good to be with you, Gordon.
Explain, what's the problem with the way that we draw the boundaries for congressional districts as well as the districts for state house and senate in Michigan?
Well, drawing the districts is strictly a legislative matter. It can be appealed to the courts. And right now, for the second consecutive redistricting process, Republicans have controlled the entire process, having majorities in both chambers of the legislature, the governor to sign the bill into law, and essentially a Republican Supreme Court as a last court of appeal on any redistricting. And when it's in a partisan control, the first object of drawing the lines is to protect majority and control. And the way that's done is to pack the opposing party into a minimal number of highly concentrated voters of the opposing party. So in this case, the Republicans pack the Democrats into as small number of seats as possible. And what this does is distort how the vote of the population translates into representation in the various legislative levels. It's a more exaggerated effect the greater the population in the district. So if you think that representation should generally directly reflect the vote, you'd expect a party that gets 50% of the vote to get 50% of the representation. And we get far away from that kind of a ratio. Not as far in the smaller districts, the Michigan House of Representatives, but by the time you get to the congressional districts that are so large and so populous, it turned out in the 2012 congressional elections that Republican votes were worth twice as much representation as Democratic votes. That is, for the percentage of the representatives who are Republicans, which was 9 out of 14, they won that with just less than 46% of the vote. So what you end up with is a misrepresentation of what the voting sentiment of the state as a whole is in our congressional representation. And that Michigan was not alone in that. This happens in other states. And I'm sure if Democrats were in control of the process, their motivations would be the same, not to keep communities of interest together, but to assure the political majority.
And the fact in your column, you point out that in Illinois, where Democrats do control the redistricting process, it turns out that it's tilted in their favor in that state.
Absolutely. It wasn't as extreme as what it was in some of the states where Republicans controlled, the most extreme being Pennsylvania and Ohio. But absolutely, Democrats do the same thing as Republicans. They attempt to assert a permanent political advantage, and that's the problem, as I say. We're not representing voters. We're gaining political edge for a partisan organization.
Now, in following your column on Dome, there was the comment section, which included one from Stephen Linder, a partner with the Lansing-based Republican communications firm Sterling Corporation. He noted that you and him don't often see eye to eye in much of anything. He points out that the legislature is under some constrictions in both the state constitution and under federal law to, for instance, maintain minority-majority districts. Are there some other pressures which are working on the legislature as they draw these maps that could skew the partisan advantage, even if they were trying their hardest not to skew it themselves?
Well, they're under statutory guidance that they have to break a minimal number of political jurisdictional lines in the process. So that's a measure of a successful redistricting on one sense, how few county lines are broken, how few city boundaries, township boundaries, that kind of thing. That may or may not make entire sense, but the thing is, the track of the jurisdictional lines isn't just reflecting some kind of legal requirement. It's done to pack seats in such a way that they can be controlled. And if you look at, for example, and it's really in Southeast Michigan where this was carried out very effectively, the 11th Congressional District, the source of that seat was really to try to draw a more secure seat for Thad McCotter, who got caught up in the business of the fraudulent nominating petitions and resigned from Congress. That district excludes the city of Farmington from Farmington Hills, comes up and makes kind of a curl around Bloomfield Hills. It's at a location where a tall person could stand astride three congressional districts, and that wasn't anything to do with any kind of statutory requirement. This was very cleverly drawn. There's actually kind of a spiral of districts around Bloomfield Hills that were meant to distribute heavily Democratic votes into Sandra Levin's district and try to make a secure 11th when it was drawn for Thad McCotter.
Are there states which have come up with some idea for an independent redistricting process, in other words, where the lawmakers themselves don't draw the lines, who have found a system that does seem to be more fair and more equitable and does truly reflect what the voters show when they cast their ballots?
Well, there are certainly attempts out there that are fraught with all kinds of problems, too, and I guess that's a concession we need to make in this. There's no ideal way to do this. California has gone to kind of a hybrid bipartisan, nonpartisan commission to draw the lines, where Republicans and Democrats are represented, but then self-declared independents are represented. And there was an open nomination process from the public, and they got 3,000 applicants to be part of this system. They've combined that independent commission with the so-called jungle primaries, where the top two vote-getters in each primary election go forward. So you could have a Republican and a Democrat, or you could have two Republicans advancing to the general election.
And that, I was just going to ask if it seems like that has produced a process which does seem more fair.
I think the verdict is probably out on that. There was some criticism in reporting by ProPublica how in public hearings people would come out representing a group, but in effect be related to an individual politician trying to secure a seat for an incumbent. So my suggestion about redistricting was get experts in economics, in sociology, in political science to consider different things. And an example of a community of interest that might be served, Joe Schwartz, former congressman from Battle Creek, is one of my board directors. And he's made the comment about redistricting that Battle Creek and Kalamazoo were historically connected in a district, shared an airport, shared a lot of economy. And so it made sense for a representative in Congress to be rooted in both of those communities. So I just suggest that there are different ways that of grouping people that make sense rather than strictly partisan advantage. And I think voting rights requirements can be protected in that kind of system. That's why I'd say get demographers involved. They know the many ways in which populations are related.
Rich Robinson, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Rich Robinson is Executive Director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network.
This is West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.